What's Working, folks? I'm Cam Marston. This is the special edition, which we do Tuesdays and Thursdays for the foreseeable future at 1 p.m. Our focus on this show is helping small businesses stay alive in the new economy today. And I know many of you, like me, if you listen to Tuesday's program, are wondering when our next paycheck is going to come in, when our next our client event is going to come in. If you heard Tuesday's show, you heard how my business canceled in 1 week. Everything that I had scheduled between March and now looking like June. And here's an update. Nothing's changed. So I'm focusing my efforts, my attentions, my positivity, my goodwill towards helping each other out by let's see who we can provide as experts to this show. When last show ended on Tuesday, Sean and I sat here and talked a little bit, and he told me about the number of people that come to talk radio in times of crisis. And I remember hearing him say that, and it has happened. I've had a number of people say to me, email, post, paste, text, and everything. I don't normally listen to this stuff, but I did, and I heard you on it. And additionally, they've told me that they are a non-traditional talk radio listener, and a lot of them, I learned, are female and looking for content and information. So if you are one of these people, new to talk radio, perhaps new to the show, new to the station, whatever, welcome. Glad to have you. And I hope you can find something in my hour, at least, that you can benefit from. So if you're a new audience to this, I'm glad you're here. Now, many of you, like me, I'm certain, are spending an extraordinary amount of time, wasting time, frankly, on social media. And in that time, I've seen some great advice, some good insights. I've seen some junk. I've seen things that make me laugh, things that make me cry. And I get this report on my phone of the spikes, or it comes out weekly, of what I've done on the phone for the previous week. And the spike in social media consumption by me is absolutely kind of embarrassing. However, several things have shown up. And one of the things that I want to begin to incorporate into this show is a little bit of humor where we can find it. We recognize that it's a difficult environment out there. But if we can find a way to smile, find a way to laugh, maybe we should do so. And I'll share a couple of them that I've found this week that I thought was hysterical. One of them which said, I wish I'd given up people for Lent instead of wine. It would have been so much easier, which I think is very insightful. And the other one which says, we are over a week into self-isolation and it is really upsetting me to witness my husband standing at the living room window gazing aimlessly into space with tears running down his cheeks. It breaks my heart to see him like this. I've thought very hard about how I can cheer him up. I've even considered letting him in, but, you know, rules are rules. Had to laugh at both of those. If you've got some things out there that you want to share that you feel our audience needs to listen to and may bring them a smile, I want you to connect with me in the places that are about to come a whole lot more active than they have in the past, and that is the What's Working with Cam Marston social media sites. Our Instagram site is What's Working with Cam Marston. There are no apostrophes in Instagram. Enter What's Working with Cam Marston. And the Facebook page, What's Working with Cam Marston. Enter that into your Facebook search bar, and you'll be able to find this page. I want you to interact. I want you to send me your ideas, etc. Now, one of the things that I asked on Instagram to the listening audience this week, and we're going to get into the small business component of the show here momentarily, but we're setting this up, is what are you doing with your kids? We need ideas. And this was a personal request as much as anything. So remember this. I'll give you the synopsis of the ideas if you remember this. Here's the number, 44222. Text What's Working to 44222. And I will send you the synopsis of the best ideas that we found that came in over Instagram this week, as well as a number of other things. What you'll also get at that text is a list of ideas from Russell Fountain. Russell is the president of Global Disaster Solutions, and he will be our second guest on the show beginning around the bottom of the hour. He shared some data with me when we interviewed him for the Wednesday What's Working with Cam Marston, and it was this: 40% of businesses never reopen after a natural disaster. Another 29% have failed 2 years later. I'm interested in learning from Russell, is this what he describes as a natural disaster? Whether he does or not is irrelevant. What I do want to know is what these businesses have in common that fail. Our first guest coming up after the break is going to be Terry Harbin. Terry is the market president for Bancorp South. He also is serving as the president of the Mobile Chamber of Commerce. I want to hear about what's going on in the banking world and what he can advise small businesses in these times of crisis. We'll have him on the line when we get back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. On the line is Terry Harbin. Terry Harbin is the, I had his bio here. He is the market president for Bancorp South. He also serves as the president of the Mobile Chamber of Commerce. And Terry, if appropriate, perhaps we can get into some of your new roles, considering our new situation as the president of the Mobile Chamber. But first, Terry, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
My pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me today.
So I think one of the opening questions that I have of every peer, colleague, anybody in the work world right now is, what's it like for you? Terry, what's it like for you right now?
Cam, it's as busy as it's ever been. Every customer seems to have a different request, have a different need. Circumstances are changing very rapidly, so we're fielding lots of phone calls and trying to do business while we're keeping our social distance.
Well, I'm curious. Busy is good, and I'm managing to stay busy right now, but I'm not profitable right now by any means. Are you able to provide new products and services for your customers right now that are creating a profit for the bank, or are you just scrambling to manage their requests?
Well, Ken, there's a little bit of both. I would say new requests have definitely slowed down a little bit. Most people are trying to manage current requests, asking for things like payment deferrals, and I'm sure you'll want to get into that at some point. And then some bridge loan capabilities, kind of ride the storm out until we see exactly what federal programs are going to be available.
Let's talk about that real quick. There seems like every minute a new update on the federal programs that'll be available and more particulars about them. The one that I heard this morning, and I did not hear the actual interview nor the broadcast, is we can now rely on our banker to apply for these loans on our behalf. Tell me what you know about that.
Yeah, there are two things, Cam, we'll talk about very briefly. Number one, there are currently SBA loans available out there to bridge the gap, and those are as a result of emergency declarations. We'll talk about how you access those in just a minute. It is available on the Chamber website, and we'll be specific about that. But then the legislation that passed the Senate last night, 96-0, is in the House now, and the truth is, until the House finishes with that, we won't know exactly how that's going to work, but that piece will be available directly through your local bank.
Are you reaching out to the business customers of yours right now, Terry, that you feel like maybe, you know, in the bullseye of this economic meltdown, and saying, hey, there might be something available to you. I recognize that you're kind of in the bullseye of this change. There might be something available to you. Don't give up. Don't raise the white flag. Let us help you. Are you proactively reaching out to your customers right now with that message?
Absolutely. Cam, we are we're calling all of our customers, having exactly that conversation with them. Some of ours are getting to us before we're able to get to them. And I was getting text messages back and forth last night as late as about 10:15, 10:30 on exactly these topics. So we're handling it from every aspect you can imagine, both proactive and reactive.
I suspect that many small businesses in a time like this have some flinch reactions, if you will, like grabbing a hot pan. You flinch. And perhaps some of the flinch reactions of small businesses at a time like this aren't the best ones, that if they were to sit down and think about it or get counsel from somebody that's perhaps been through this before or sees a broader landscape, they'd advise them differently. What are the flinch reactions you're seeing from small business right now that you would say, hey, wait a minute, before you make that decision, give these things some thought?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, some of the flinch is, as you refer to it, is coming as a result of social distancing requirements that have been put on by various health and government entities. But You know, the other thing is people trying to rush out and borrow more money than they need before they really know what's going on. So the first thing we do is counsel people, you know, defer non-critical spending. Make sure you're talking to people that owe you money to ask whether they are able to pay you or not. Don't buy excess inventories, things like that. So, you know, there's an old saying that says cash is king. And so we would counsel everyone, watch your spending, collect revenues where you can, manage your accounts payable and those types of things first, and then let's assess what your real needs are.
In a time like this, everybody wants to get paid, but no one wants to pay. It's a big, you know, catch-22. It's a, you know, an inequity. I want my vendors to pay me, but I don't want to have to pay anybody else. You've got to be feeling that same thing, too. Are you working with your clients on how to appropriately talk to people about the fact that perhaps they can't pay? Or if they're coming to you, what do you, well, I guess the best question, what would you advise one of your customers today, Terry, who's coming to you saying, yes, I have a loan, yes, I have a line of credit, but I can't pay it. Is there something you're looking for from them specifically that you could teach these listeners that they might adopt?
Absolutely, Cam. That is a great question. And I can tell you whether it's good times or bad, the advice that we give is be totally honest and transparent with your banker. A banker never wants to be taken by surprise. We can handle bad news, and that's what relationship banking is all about. We will help people weather the storm, but what we need is accurate facts. And most often, we're going to ask you, bring me financial data. Bring me internally prepared statements out of QuickBooks or whatever you might have. Help us help you ask all the right questions.
So they're coming to you, and what you like, I love what you said, you don't want to be surprised. Are you looking for a plan out of your small business customers to say, Terry, here's my situation and here's my plan? Or do you want to get involved with your customers to help them make that plan so that it's that you're confident with it?
Yeah, Cam, in an emergency situation like this, for us to expect all of our customers to have had time to put together a plan is unrealistic and would probably, you know, represent a little bit of bad faith on our part. And so we're more than happy to help them develop that plan based on the information they bring in with us when we have that conversation.
So you're looking for information and then partnering with them to create a plan. And I suspect that's the case with most any organization right now that is due money from somebody, bring me a plan on how you're going to pay this. And that's good to know, folks. If you're in this position, be transparent. Grab the information. I suspect more information is better than less. And go to this person and say, here's what I got, and let's work out a plan together. Is there anything you can add to that, Terry?
Yeah, I would just say, Cam, one of the reasons for that, you were talking about people want to be paid, but they don't want to have to pay during a crisis time like this. And so if someone, a customer, brings us their accounts receivable, we're able to go through that receivables listing and say, wow, a restaurant that hadn't been open for 3 weeks, you're probably not going to get that money. This one is a receivable from a large corporate entity or a city or municipality. You're probably going to get that. It may be a little bit late, but we're not really worried about whether you're ever going to collect it or not. Those are receivables we can lend against, rather than doubtful collection type receivables.
This is a non sequitur question here, Terry. But as a guy, I have your resume here in front of me. You've been around the banking community for a while. You've got a lot of startup experience behind you. What has surprised you the most about all this, Terry?
Probably just how quickly it all came on and how quickly we seem to shut everything down. Which really has just put people in a real pinch trying to figure out what might happen tomorrow. You know, we can make plans if we have a little bit of visibility into something that's stable, but the lack of stability is making it very difficult for people to know how to plan.
Have you seen anything like this before in your banking experience?
Never. This is even completely different from the financial crisis 10 or 12 years ago. In that it came absolutely with such short warning and came with such force So no, we've never really seen anything like this before.
One future interview is to get the Mobile Chamber, the small business people at the Mobile Chamber on the phone and talk to them about what they're offering. Can you give us a peek through your affiliation with the Chamber right now as the president of how the Chamber is reacting and perhaps what resources they're making available right now?
I can, Cam. That's a great question, and I actually have my laptop here with me, mobilechamber.com. We have a brand new heading on there. It's the only heading that's in red. It's called COVID-19 Resources. And if you click on that, we're actually updating that daily. And one of the things you'll see updated March 23rd are several links that deal with all of this SBA lending information. We even have a webinar that's on there from the SBA and the SBA lenders that we're partnering with. A 74 PowerPoint slide that has almost the answer to every question you could ask. So, yes, the Chamber is retooled, regeared to be totally focused on that. We've got a Facebook page that's out there called Stay Safe, Stay Local. It's about all the businesses that are still in business and that are able to provide ongoing services even through this challenging time. So, yeah, the Chamber is really focused.
It sounds like it. And you don't have to be a Chamber member to access that website, do you?
That is a public website, but I will tell you, you're going to find, I'll have to put my Chamber hat on.
Yeah, I hear it coming. I hear it coming.
The COVID-19 resource in red is immediately under the Join the Chamber link.
Yeah, that's very strategic. There's never a chance or never an opportunity might not to market a little bit better and a little bit more strategically. I get that. Now, listen, as the market president for this area, what have you done with your workforce?
Yeah, so most banks, including ours, closed our lobbies a couple of weeks ago, and it made everything drive up only. And we're doing that for two reasons, obviously to protect the spread of the virus, if we may have had it here, which we have zero reported cases, not aware of any banks that have any cases, but we are still able to take appointments in person for somebody to come into the lobby to do whatever they need to do, and our commercial bankers are still available all day every day. So we've closed the lobbies, but everything is still available, and if somebody has a specific need where they need to defer or delay a payment, we're also willing to do that on a case-by-case basis, as I believe almost every financial institution, at least in our market, is doing at the same time.
Let me ask you to put up your startup hat, on your startup hat, Terry. It was a text that we got last week, and folks, by the way, the phone and text line 343-0106 is open. We got a request or a text Tuesday. That said, are any of the banking provisions being made available through this funding stuff advantageous to beginning a business, entrepreneurial approaches to business? Are you aware of any sort of something being made available to people who are beginning new businesses right now that see an opportunity, a vacancy in the marketplace and are hurrying to fill it? Do you have any idea?
Cam, in terms of specific funding for that, I think unfortunately, the answer for that is probably no. What we're focused on through all of our lending programs, what the legislation that the Senate passed last night and is in the House now is focused on, is keeping people currently employed, paid, making funds available to existing businesses. Now, the Chamber has a very robust startup business incubator program, a variety of them, in fact. But unfortunately, we are having to focus kind of on first things first.
Sure.
Right now, and we'll get those restarted just as quickly as possible after we have some stability.
Any words of wisdom, Terry, as we begin to wrap this thing up, any words of wisdom to the small business owner out there, and I'm one of these, that's truly concerned for their future, their livelihood, as I said on Tuesday, existential reality. Do I have reason to exist even when this thing gets over? Because it sounds like the fundamental underpinnings of our economy may have shifted dramatically. We won't know. Any wisdom, parting thoughts for listeners like me out there?
Yeah, Cam, I would say that you still need to pay attention to the basics. It's blocking and tackling. It's making sure you're recording all your transactions. If you do a service for somebody, you need to render an invoice. That needs to show up as a receivable. A lot of what will be required by the SBA and by banks based on the new legislation will be bringing documentation in to or uploading it to the web. You know, the SBA site is web-based for those loans. So, yeah, I say, you know, mind your P's and Q's. Pay attention to the basics and do the things that, you know, got you to where you are, and they'll probably sustain you in the long run.
Real quick, Terry, I hear nothing but confidence. I hear nothing but assurance. I hear ease in your voice, whereas so many people that I'm talking to, as well as hearing on the radio, have a little bit of a perhaps a higher pitch than they normally would have due to worry. Where are you getting your strength?
Cam, I can say unequivocally and without question, my strength comes from the Lord my God, who has been good to me. He has blessed me. He has given me everything I have. And I am grateful to him for the opportunity to be in the middle of this, serving our community and our businesses. And I just give him thanks and glory.
I'm glad to hear that. I think there are a lot of people. In fact, I got a little bit of a talking to after a Tuesday show when I went on too long about fear. They said, you don't realize, Cam, the depth of faith in this part of the world. And there are a lot of people that were listening saying, hey, Cam, You're right to acknowledge fear, but there is an antidote to the fear, and you need to consider that. And I hadn't, and I heard it again in your voice today. Terry, thank you so much for your time. We may come back to you on a future show as this small business stuff continues to unfold. Is that okay?
Thanks for allowing us to be a part. We appreciate it. Best wishes to you.
Yeah, thank you, Terry, and you too. Terry Harbin is the market president for Bancorp South, and he's the president of the Mobile Chamber of Commerce. Folks, if you want to get involved, the number is 343-0106, and find us on Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston, where you can get some of the downloadable items that we've developed for this week. Yeah, we'll be back after this break. Find us on Instagram, folks. What's Working with Cam Marston. Remember this phone number, 44222. Text What's Working to 44222. You're going to get a list of many of the items we've put together for this show today. One of those things is a list from Russell Fountain on how to prepare for a disaster. Russell is the owner of Global Disaster Solutions. If you're a fan of the Wednesday 6 p.m. edition of What's Working with Cam Marston, you heard him interviewed a couple of weeks ago. Russell, thank you for your time. Welcome back. You're needed now more than ever.
Thank you, Cam. Glad to assist.
Man, there was a couple of things you said in our interview that as soon as I started thinking about getting on the radio this way, I thought I've got to go back to that. And I listened to that again. I used this data opening up today's show, and I'm going to say it again because it's just shocking to me. And I'm asking you to help us get to the bottom of this. And here it is. 40% of businesses never reopen after a natural disaster, and another 29% have failed 2 years later. Russell, did I get that right?
That's correct. That's a FEMA statistic that was put out a few years back and seems to stay consistent.
Tell me, Russell, why? Why do so many businesses fail after a natural disaster?
From what I've seen in my career, there's a combination of things. One is the lack of preparation. No one, or not anyone, but, you know, so many businesses out there don't really prepare and plan for an unforeseen event. You know, a disaster is something that's somewhat unforeseen because you never know when it's going to happen, the timing, the severity. Obviously, in our area, we think of hurricanes a lot, so we ramp up for hurricane season and so forth. But in general, I don't think people really prepare like they should. Preparation could consist of really reviewing your insurance coverages, which is as important now as ever before. A lot of different things a business can do to help be better prepared for something like this.
So are there clients of yours out there, Russell? I know you consult with them. I know you help repair damage after the disaster has struck. And I also know you consult with them in anticipation of something they may not expect. Are there clients out there who have prepared for a pandemic, for a viral pandemic, who are, I wouldn't say sitting pretty, but okay right now? What have they done? I mean, it's not like I need some generators and I should buy a bunch of generators and put them in the warehouse or the shed. This is something different. Tell me what the ones that are succeeding have done.
I think the ones that are succeeding are just better prepared. They have better supply chains. They are familiar with their insurance coverages in terms of working with their insurance agent or their broker. For instance, if you're a restaurant, do you have food spoilage coverage in the event of a hurricane? I know we're not talking about that right now, but you know, do you have ordinance and law coverage? There's so many things in an insurance policy that a business really should be in tune with and understand and make sure they're prepared. You know, in terms of our current situation, it's supply chain distribution. I mean, think about the company or the business that is solely reliant maybe on their supplies and merchandise coming overseas, coming into the port of Mobile, but it might be coming from another country somewhere that could suddenly not be able to produce their resources. You know, you've got your communication with your customers, your suppliers, your employees. You know, I heard something the other day, someone advertised on the radio, and they basically said, "We're open for business, but we're open in our parking lot. We've got a tent set up, so come by and see us," and so forth. And I'm thinking, you know, well, that's really creative. That's good. They're still serving their customer base. At the same time, I wonder how that affects their supply chain. What if the supply truck drives up in the middle of the parking lot event during normal business hours? Normally, they would just drive in and go to the back of the store and unload. I mean, these are things to consider in our current situation.
Is there a model, Russell, in your business for dealing with a pandemic different than, let's say, a flood or a burst pipe, which is one of the things we talked about on the radio show with you a couple of weeks ago, a burst pipe that may flood a building or a floor, a hurricane, an earthquake, a flood? Is there a model for dealing with pandemics that you are aware of?
I'm not sure there's a model that anyone's aware of in dealing with pandemics, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, because we've never been faced with this before. I do think the same rules apply and the same preparation applies no matter what you're planning for in the future. This is just another curveball that we've been thrown as a society that we have to learn to adapt to and be better prepared for. It's no different than a hurricane or anything else in the past. If someone's ever been affected by those, they should be better prepared for the future because they've already gone through it.
Yeah.
You know, back to the 40%, small businesses never recover after disaster. An additional 29%, I think, are out of work after 2 years, like we discussed. I mean, I think it's straight up not being prepared. Listening to you interview Terry Harbin a little while ago, you know, he said cash is king. Cash is king. You know, you have billing considerations, payment considerations, cash flow considerations as a small business that you need to be prepared for. No one saw this pandemic coming. And now they're, you know, everyone's faced with, you know, we're scrambling. We're learning how to do things differently. This may be a new normal moving forward in terms of a virtual world, or maybe transitioning to in a business perspective.
So I'm curious. We could spend a lot of time talking, and we have on the previous show as well as now, on what we should do next time. Put yourself in the shoes of any one of these small business owners, and I raise my hand. I'm one of these people. What is your advice to them right now, knowing your expertise? What's your advice to them right now?
Number one, I'd say be familiar with your insurance coverages.
Yeah,
what's covered,
said, yeah.
What's not covered. Talk with your broker, your agent. I mean, they're there to help you. You know, another thing is diversifying your supply chain, as I touched on. Don't be relying on one particular supplier, because what if that one particular supplier is affected by an event? Okay, in this instance, it could be maybe they're shut down because people are affected by the illness. Normal times, it's more like, what if their facility got struck by a tornado or a hurricane or a fire? I would say diversify your supply chain. You know, in terms of your own, I think you touched on it earlier, you know, billing, you know, your AR department, keeping up with what your customers owe, you know, keeping up with making payments to your suppliers. This can affect your an AR department of a business, let's say, because maybe they're sick. I mean, there's so many unknowns here that can be affected, but, you know, it's being better prepared for all these things. You know, limiting overhead expenses is a big thing of mine. You know, if you come into a cash flow shortage situation, maybe you're not receiving money from your customers like you would normally expect. Look at your overhead. I mean, is there a reason to have a high overhead? Some businesses have a high overhead, but, you know, maybe they can find a way to reduce that just to be better prepared in the future.
What are your customers asking you the most right now, Russell?
You know, it is a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown. I've talked with hospital groups. I've talked with school systems. They've all reached out to me, you know, as well as some others. It's almost like, okay, well, if we become affected in terms of an employee or a customer, or if you're a hospital, a patient, whoever becomes infected with the Crohn's disease, it kind of changes the parameters of what they're dealing with. Right now, it's a proactive disinfection, cleaning, you know, repetitive cleaning of high-touch areas and so forth, trying to keep a facility open, a facility in business, no matter what it is. But what if they find out someone's sick? Then the protocols change in terms of maybe everybody's working from home at that point. And then they've got to clean their facility, disinfect it. You know, there's it's a lot about being prepared for the unknown.
So you're even now counseling your clients to be prepared for further unknown. It's not the unknown that has surprised us. There's more unknown in the future, and you need to consider these 3, 4, 5 things that you've just listed. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, this is another example of no one saw this coming.
Yeah.
We've never gone through this before. People are working from home. There's you know, a different way of doing business that we have all quickly transitioned to, from our, you know, students learning from home, from workers working from home, being set up on computers where they can access their information from work that they did not do before. So I actually think this is going to be a more of a reality, hopefully not in terms of another pandemic, but a reality of being prepared, being better prepared, you know, for the next event. It doesn't have to be a pandemic. It can be anything. Anything that affects our economy, our lives, this is another example of how to be better prepared.
Did you see people take proactive steps to preparing post 9/11 or in 2008? Do people learn these lessons, or do they say they learn the lessons and then go back to old ways?
You know, I think for the most part, people do learn the lessons. There's obvious examples of other people that don't, but, you know, if you don't learn from your mistakes, your failures, from the lessons that you're faced with, then you're never going to succeed in the future. I do think a lot of companies, you know, a lot of industries are better prepared. They are more realistic of what can happen. They do have better insurance coverage, but I see it almost every day in my line of business where, just say someone, you know, we're talking pandemics, but someone has a fire or someone has another event and they're lacking a specific insurance coverage that would have really helped them recover quicker or better financially.
Yeah, I'm curious if you're calling this a natural disaster or not. I know it's a matter of semantics, but is this what you would define as a natural disaster? And I say that because I spoke to a woman yesterday, and I plan to explore this a little bit further, who says this is her loss of use policy for her workplace is not going to cover the fact that she's had to send her employees home to work from home. The workplace is fine. There's nothing wrong with it, and that policy won't cover it. Is this a natural disaster to you?
I don't know if it's coined as a natural disaster or not. I typically think of natural disasters as something that affects a community, that affects a geographic region.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, you know, different things. They do affect a wide area. It could be a small area. It could be a bigger area. It just depends. This is a disaster that is affecting the entire world simultaneously.
Right.
I can't recall that has ever happened before.
Yeah.
So, whether it's natural or not, it may be the biggest thing that we've ever been faced with in general. I mean, as a business, I mean, the insurance companies typically, like you just touched on, it requires something in the insurance policy to cause damage to a building for things like loss of use and loss of business income to be paid for.
Yeah.
Nothing's really affecting a business physically. It's a pandemic, and this is new to everyone.
Folks, Russell Fountain has offered a list of items. I have it here. It's 3 pages of continuity planning and disaster recovery checklist. It's as valid now as ever has been, considering especially that summer's right around the corner and the storms are going to start blowing off the coast of Africa, which is something that concerns every one of us in this part of the world. But it's certainly relevant right now. Russell, thank you so much for your time. Folks, you're listening to What's Working. We'll be back after these breaks. Folks, when I first started this show just 2 days ago, I thought I want to finish this thing off with something kind of motivational, inspirational. I'm not a motivational speaker by any means, but let's find a way to look at this with the glass half full where possible. So I'm combing social media largely right now looking for these stories. And if you've got some to share, I want to hear about them. Again, Facebook, What's Working with Cam Marston, and on Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston. And I came across this one the other day. Bill Krause was actually on our Wednesday show several months ago now. He is an executive with Page & Jones, do work for customs with their clients. But today he's doing something a little bit different due to a request he got locally. Bill, thank you for your time. Welcome back to What's Working.
Thanks, Cam. Happy to be here.
Tell me the story, Bill, about these things that you're making now. I know you're a woodworker by hobby, and you're doing something a little bit different based on a request locally. Give us the story.
Yeah, so me and a buddy of mine, Brian Bumpers, we have a little hobby shop that we make furniture and knick-knack things kind of upon request. And so 2 days ago, a friend of mine, Dr. Adrian DiVittorio, who is with Infirmary Health, and he's a specialist in pulmonary and critical care medicine, he reaches out to me in a text, and he said, Bill, he sent me a copy of a picture, a diagram. He said, is this something you can build? And if so, how quickly? And I looked at it, and it was this box. It's just a box with a couple holes in it. And I shot back, and I said, he told me kind of briefly what it was about. I said, we can do it. So Brian and I got some material, and we got to the shop, and we made 4 of them Tuesday night. And then Wednesday morning, they came by and picked them up, and they said these were just fantastic. And what it is, as a pulmonologist, as we're dealing with this coronavirus, if a patient begins to have respiratory failure and they have to be intubated and put on ventilation or ventilator, that process, I guess, these nurses and doctors are over their face and they're doing that procedure. And to protect them, a shield, I guess, to protect them from the droplets that are caused from that process, they came, you know, this device was this concept was come up with. And I traced it back, and it's a Taiwanese doctor that came up with it, I think maybe back in January or December, and he shared it on social media. And I think Adrian and I have not talked about it, but I believe Adrian came across it. He's thinking outside the box, and he came up with it, and he said, you know, he thought of us, and so we made it happen. And after that, now it's kind of like, you know, word of mouth, and I'm getting more and more people saying, hey, can you make 4 more of them? So it's great because, you know, we like to work with our hands, Brian and I. I'm in the shipping business. I don't get to do that. I'm usually at the desk job, and I love that job, but I do like working with my hands. And this was something really cool that, you know, obviously helps people. And so we were able to do that, and we even, you know, using some local guys as well, we reached out to Al Love Plastic there on the Beltline off of 65, and we've been buying the plexiglass from them. And I should maybe explain that it's basically a plexiglass box that the doctor reaches in with 2 holes, reaches in and uses that as the shield as that is over the patient's head to do this process. So that's it.
So you've made four thus far, and you've had further requests. How many do you think you, I mean, what are the total number of requests that are in for you right now for these boxes?
Well, so we made four that night. The next day, which was yesterday, it's flown by so fast. Yesterday, I think we made another eight. Tonight, we're going to make, I think, five more. And I just told the guys at the plastic place, I just said, look, you know, we're going to keep coming by and sheets of plastic from you until you, it looks like maybe until you run out. So, and one of them, actually, I'm taking, when I finish this call, I'm going to run over to UPS and overnight it to this person over in Georgia. So, yeah.
Bill, I know you're involved in all the communities that you you exist in. My friendship with you shows that you're a very active guy, and I suspect you, kind of like me, showing up here on the in the station and wanting to get involved just makes you feel like you're a part of the solution, and you're not pacing the floor wondering what's going to happen. You're active. You're moving. You're doing something. How's it making you feel?
Exactly that. It's a great release of that pent up. You know, want to say hello to all my friends who might be listening in and, you know, wish we could hang out. And all of us, everybody just feels, you know, you can't help it but feel helpless at times through this. And so, man, when this came up, I thought it's something I can do with my hands. It's something I can do quickly. You know, it's truly helping people. So it's a very positive feel.
I think it's needed so much from people out there right now, is the feeling of doing something and feeling like they're helping. Bill, I hope for you that we don't get to the point where everybody's mandated to stay at home. And if that mandate happens, I hope you're able to slip out and continue this type of work there. It sounds like it's very needed. And I want to congratulate Dr. DiVittorio for saying, hey, I think there is a way to get these made locally and quickly. And I congratulate him for reaching out to you, knowing that you could get it done. That's awesome, Bill. Are you selling these things, or are you just getting them out the door to help people?
Yeah, we're basically covering the cost.
Yeah.
And to that point, I want to say a big thank you to Dr. DiVittorio, as well as obviously all our nurses and doctors who are, you know, on the front line. So, that's kind of where we stand on that.
Yeah, well, Bill, from a participating member of the community, very much like you, feeling the need to get involved, thank you for your work, my man. I know those wood products that you make, those chairs, those tables, they're beautiful. I appreciate you setting them aside for now and helping with the greater good. Folks, we'll keep up with Bill as this goes along. He might have launched a new business here for all we know. Coming forward, let's talk about what we got upcoming. Next week, we've got Excel Day and Evening Academy as the Wednesday 6 p.m. edition of What's Working with Cam Marston. They're doing some great stuff there, and we can't avoid talking about the environment today. So we talk about that with them. And coming up on Tuesday, got a couple of new ideas. I can't confirm them for you, but it's going to be about keeping your small business alive in a time of crisis. Get involved, folks. 44222. Send What's Working to 44222. Get the list that we've created from our guests today. We'll see you next week.